Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Democrats, Joe Biden's administration trying to create a new normal, Lee. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if it was turned on. Okay. Democrats trying to create a new normal. Here, the numbers are out. They continue to admit to more. 404,000 illegal immigrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela were flown by the Biden administration into the United States of America in violation of law. And that's just January 23 through March of 24, so a little more than a year. 404,000. That's incredible when you consider we cannot vet Venezuelan illegals, we cannot vet Cuban illegals, and we can't vet Haitian illegals. In fact, God knows who's coming from Haiti. I have no freaking clue. That country is run by a cannibal-led gangster.
Yeah, Haiti doesn't even know what's going on in Haiti.
No, and I mean, at this point, if I wanted a flight into the U.S., I would just go to Haiti. Because that CPB1 app doesn't verify you, as Senator Ted Cruz pointed out in a letter to the Department of Homeland Security. It just gives you a little QR code. Looks nice and official. And they slide you right through the airport. Why do they do that? So you won't be seen at the border. Also, because it helps you to get here easier than having to walk all the way up. 404,000. So what they're doing is normalizing the idea of illegally flying the illegals in. Mm-hmm. Now, the total, this is shocking. The total number just revealed. And again, this is just January of last year, January of 23 through March of 24, a little over a year, 950,000 illegals walked into this country because Joe gave them a QR code. And the way they hide them is that the other roughly 600,000 got the QR code on the CPB1 app. It's 547,000. And walked through the port of entry. So you didn't see them there at the wall. You didn't see them being rounded up by the Border Patrol and put on planes and given free phones and given cards loaded with cash. You didn't see that. There was no visual because they were part of the crowd that walked through our land ports.
Yeah, Bill Malusian wasn't there with his drone showing the folks coming across Eagle Pass, Texas.
Yes, you can't tell them from somebody who's legally coming here as a visa, right? And that's how the Democrats like it. So this, they're normalizing this. All told, 950,000 illegal immigrants. Every one of these is a violation of U.S. law, let in by Biden. So the gimmick is, hey, we'll give you a little QR code. Well, anybody can generate a QR code. I mean, I can get an app to generate a QR code. You could be like, yeah, I got Tara's QR code. What does that mean? You're still an illegal immigrant. So this is to hide the flow. And this is then letting Karine Jean-Pierre claim, oh, the flow's down like a little bit, you know, of illegal. Well, no, they're just sneaking them in through the ports. Again, Venezuela's government announced, we're emptying the prisons. It's our second chance program. These are the worst criminals we have imprisoned. We're sending them to you. And Joe just puts them on a plane and in they come. I don't know how people like Joe can do this to their grandkids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really shocking. You got to have a pretty high level of psychopathy to do this to your grandkids. But the Democrats are. I mean, it's not like there's plenty. If you want to just break the law and bring illegals in here to vote Democrat one day after the amnesty, you can do that without bringing the world's worst criminals. Okay. But they're so selfish. They don't want to leave any vote unturned. They are emptying the prisons in Venezuela. And it's incredible because when the Venezuelans tell them, hey, we're emptying the prisons and sending them to you, we're like, okay, cool. Hey, load them on a plane. I mean, this is unbelievable. I'm glad for the first time, I've been waiting for somebody on our side. And this is why we need a war room. We don't have a Republican war room. And so nobody knows what's going on. This is the first time I've heard anybody really explain this to the American people yesterday. This is the impeachment of Mayorkas. And this is Mark Green, U.S. Senator Mark Green, explaining what Mayorkas is doing is illegal. He is violating U.S. law to help the illegals come in here. You have to, by law, you have to repel them. You don't get to pick and choose who you keep. You don't get to put them on planes, even though they have no verifiable ID, and let them fly with Americans. And then, oops, we realized we let him fly domestically three times and he was a terrorist. That was Monday. That was Monday's news. Listen to him explain this. I wish the Republicans could just explain, just say it, just say this. Somebody say this. This is what he said in his opening speech at the Mayorkas impeachment.
The Immigration and Nationality Act is clear, shall detain. And in the case of criminal felons, shall detain and deport. The law says it. In the case of this law, it says you shall detain everyone. Mr. Mayorkas has worked to create policies intentionally to subvert those laws. When one executive branch official thinks they can just willy-nilly do whatever they want, disregard the other branch of government, that is a road to tyranny.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
He had also explained yesterday, average day in America, we have 9,000 beds for immigrant, you know, illegal immigrants, so we can arrest them, put them into bed, and then process them, deport them. 9,000 beds sit empty every single day. What's the average flow over the border? 5,000 to 6,000. So this whole lie by the Democrats, hey, you got to give us more border patrol, blah, 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 blah.
More money.
No, they don't know.
Right,
they've got all the detention beds they need. They're not using them because they're too busy having the border patrol put these illegals on planes, illegals who we don't even know who they are, and fly them in. They're too busy doing that. Border patrol can't do their job. Well, border patrol could do the job if we use the beds, but they refuse to. And Mark Green points out in this budget, they cut the number of beds they're requesting. Why? Because they have no intention whatsoever of stopping these illegals. When you look at it the way I just laid it out, it's a shocking invasion, but I'm afraid what they're going to get away with, Lee, is normalizing the idea of, hey, we're just going to bring in a million a year, we'll fly them in. But that's illegal. So what? We did it last year. So we should be able to do it this year. Y'all didn't object last year. In fact, you funded it.
Yeah.
And this is where Mike Johnson is killing us. He's just killing us because he continues funding this stuff. And the Democrats just laugh. You know, go give your little speech. Yeah, but you funded it. You have no leg to stand on when you funded it. It's really frustrating.
I just wish we were getting something out of the... I understand, I don't like it, but I understand the need to compromise and to try to work out deals to get legislation through and to get things moving in Congress. I realize that's what the Speaker is supposed to do. But what are we getting in return?
Nothing.
I don't. And this is the complaint that I had with McCarthy. We never got anything in return. And I'm disappointed in Johnson recently. Now, initially, he started off okay. But recently, I don't get what Republicans, what conservatives are getting in return for these negotiations, for conceding some of this spending and other things that are going on. What are we getting in return? What is the administration giving up? What are Democrats giving to Republicans? What are they doing to make some type of bipartisan deal? There is no bipartisanship. Bipartisanship on Capitol Hill is when Democrats get every dad-blame thing they want and Republicans get nothing. That's bipartisanship on Capitol Hill, apparently.
And then Mike Johnson goes on Fox and says, I don't understand why Republicans want to recall me basically as speaker. I'm just trying to get my job done. Your job, I mean, honestly, at some days, I don't know that we don't have a Democrat speaker to watch what he does.
Well,
just there's no fight of any kind.
I still think Hakeem Jeffries would be worse than what we've got, still.
No, I mean, because at least Mike Johnson is out there talking the talk. He's not actually doing anything. Look, and you're right. This wouldn't be any different if Kevin McCarthy was the speaker. I still support removing him because, look, the really good news right now is that Kevin McCarthy had the power he did because he was walking around with a pack full of Democrat money that he used to target conservatives in the primaries. That's why I wanted him gone. We're actually going to have conservative candidates make it through the primaries this season because Kevin McCarthy doesn't have that Democrat money anymore.
The question is, will they make it through the general election? That's the key.
Well, we need
And listen, I'm not knocking conservatives running in primaries. They should. I want them to. I want them to win. But then they've got to win the general election. We've got to be smart about how we campaign, about how we attract voters and get them in to vote. That's the key point. Winning the primary is important. That's where it starts. That's where you get a conservative candidate. You've got to get it there in the primary, but then you've got to win the general election.
Yeah, but at the same time, a lot of these races, we have two of them in the upstate right now, where we can choose the liberal Republican or we can choose the conservative Republican.
Yeah, well,
the Republican is going to win no matter what. There's no doubt about it. Those are the races.
We are lucky in that respect.
Right. Those are the races we need to get conservative.
Right, exactly.
Not these mushy gushy. Those conservatives, like Ralph Norman, is a great example.
Yeah.
We need more Ralph Normans
right.
who are going to come in and hold the line against
mm-hmm.
the Mike Johnsons
yep.
and the Steve Scalises
right.
and, you know, the Elise Stefanik's and all these people who talk a good game, but in the end they just compromise with the Democrats. And I don't think you're right. I don't think we're going to do that in purple districts. But we got two right here in the upstate where we can send a conservative this time, somebody who's going to hold the line. And we've got a chance to do that because Kevin McCarthy's not here. So I don't regret getting rid of him. But
yeah.
This is when we need to get conservatives in. Every voice yeah. agitating against the
right.
GOP leadership is a win. But yeah, so anyway, are you reading the bios of these Trump jurors?
No, I haven't gotten into that
we'll
yet.
We'll do that coming
okay,
up.
Okay, that should be interesting.
Oh, they're great. You're going to love them. Look, and it's not a surprise.
No,
again,
not at all.
The jury pool voted 85%
Tara,
for Joe
this
Biden.
Is going exactly the way you said it was going to.
I know.
Because of the fact that it's in New York. That's why it's here. And you laid all this out months ago when all this mess started. So it's going just along the lines of what you were predicting.
Yeah. And the American people are very weirdly torn about this trial. We just had an AP Siena poll I'm going to get into where a majority of Americans for the first time basically said, hey, the Democrats are doing this. This isn't real. We don't believe Trump did anything.
Stunning that that comes from anything that has anything to do with the Associated Press.
I know. But here's the problem. On the back end of the poll, they also say, but if Trump's convicted, then he should be ineligible. 50% say that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what? I mean, that's a mixed message right there.
Yeah, it sure
is. We can see this is fake. We can see he's innocent. But if he's convicted, he should drop out.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that sounds like a win for the Democrats, that.
Yeah.
So we'll get into all of that. The American people just very torn on this, you know, this race and on what it would mean if he's a convicted felon at the end of it. Coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I don't know what to make of this, so I'm going to let you do the show. Text me, 71307. I'm just going to read this because you're just shaking your head. There's good news in here and there's bad news in here. This is an AP NORC poll, okay? So it's going to be biased to the left, which is what makes it so interesting to me. Okay, so by day two of the jury selection, poll found, in the court of public opinion, Trump's verdict is in, and he's not guilty. So he's facing 34 felony counts, which is a joke. They spun one misdemeanor that had gone past the statute of limitations into 34 felonies. That's what a joke this is. Can Americans see through this? I'm never sure. Well, this poll shows, to at least some extent, they can. At least some extent they can, a small majority saying that they do not think Trump did anything illegal in this case. A majority of Americans do not think Trump did something illegal in the case. Okay, cool. So that's good, right? I mean, yeah, that is progress. But Another one-third of adults say Trump did do something illegal in the hush money case. Okay. Now, here's the... So, that's good. That's good. Now, here's the dicey part, though, that we get into. Still, Americans view the legal proceedings as having a cloud of doubt hanging over them. Only roughly 3 in 10 Americans, that's 30% for those of you on Common Core Math, believe that any of the prosecutors bringing charges against Trump are treating him fairly. So, wow, 30% think he is being treated fairly in a nonpartisan manner. Good. Right? They're maybe getting it. Maybe understanding. Only 2 out of 10 or 20% of Americans express extreme or high confidence that the judges or jurors in the case can uphold fairness and impartiality. So they're kind of getting that it's a kangaroo court. That's progress. That's progress. But here's the problem. Just 14% believe he did nothing wrong at all. See how this is all over the board? And those numbers have remained relatively stable over the years since he was initially charged in the case. So again, only 14% believe he did nothing wrong at all. So thinking, well, maybe he did something wrong, but this is a little over the top. He's probably not actually criminally guilty, but he probably did something wrong. This is all over the place. Now, here's the problem with this. Half of Americans believe if he's convicted, he is disqualified from being president. That's not good. That is not good. So they think he should just, you know, drop out, go away. He would be unfit to serve as president. Half of those poll. If he's convicted of falsifying business documents to conceal hush money payments, he should serve. So I think what they're saying is, we get this is partisan. We get this isn't fair. We get it's rigged. We get it stacked. They get that. They understand that. But what they're saying is, if the jury convicts Trump, then it's real. Then it becomes real. Well, let me tell you what. This judge, his daughter made $15 million from the Democrat Party last year, fundraising off of Trump's trials, okay? He's going to make sure they get the conviction. This is not a real trial where everyone tries to be fair and follow the law. The Democrats don't follow the law. It's just not what they do. So what does that mean? Well, it's going to come down to a jury probably full of dinglings. In fact, we saw some of them yesterday. And boy, they must have done a good job cutting this. Let me tell you what, cutting these jurors. Because some of these jurors clearly hated Trump. So good for his legal team for getting rid of them. But they only have so many strikes. Now, who are these Trump jurors? Who are these people? And I would tell you, but my computer just crashed. Okay. I'll do it from head. My mind. Okay, one of them is from Harlem. And I'm trying to remember this. One of them is from Harlem. And he reads the UK Daily Mail. So we have... that's kind of weird that anyone in Harlem reads the UK Daily Mail. It's great too, though. So we got one guy who has some basis in reality. There's some reality going on there. One, because we only need one juror to hang this thing up. The rest are not good. Juror number 3 says he's a male. A corporate lawyer reads the New York Times. Okay. Complete moron. That's all I need to know about him. I don't care if he's got a law degree. Complete moron. You read the New York Times, you have no basis in reality to function. You're just mentally wounded at that point. Okay. Juror number 4. We don't know. IT consultant, I have no spare time. Juror number 5. Moron. Gets her news from Google and TikTok. Okay, completely brainwashed. The communist Chinese during the revolution couldn't have done a better job brainwashing you. In fact, they are on TikTok. Lost cause. Juror number 6. Software engineer. Works for Disney. Lost cause. Juror number 7. Lives in Upper East Side. Corporate lawyer. Married. Okay. You live on the Upper East Side of New York willingly. And you're a corporate lawyer. You are probably a liberal at that point. So, but this is what we expect. Again, 85% of the jury pool voted for Joe Biden. That's why you saw the heat in the cut jurors yesterday. You could see it. It was either overt or kind of covert. They didn't like it. So my best hope right now is on juror number one from Harlem. Male. Reads the UK Daily Mail. So that's a person who has sought out real information and maybe understands that the media environment in America is very much, you know, through the looking glass. It's very fake. So we'll see. We need one. And you know what? The amount of strength it's going to take, personal strength and fortitude, which most Americans do not possess. It's just the human condition. To be able to say, look, if I'm the one who tanks this jury, how do I go to work? How do I hang out with my family? This is New York, where 85% of people voted for Biden. I mean, you know what your life's going to be like if you're that juror? The media's coming for you. They're going to print your name. They will destroy your life. And everyone around you will never forget. You're going to get a promotion at work? You're not getting a promotion at work. This is New York. See the problem here? So even an honest juror on this jury might not find for the truth. Democrats clearly wanting to capture the Death to America vote. Folks, I've been doing this almost 20 years. And when I started, we watched folks marching and burning the American flag and chanting death to America. But they were doing it on the streets of their countries. I distinctly remember this. I remember covering it. I remember covering when George W. Bush was president. And we were going to war in Afghanistan and Iraq. They didn't like Israel much back then either, but they were in their countries burning our flag and chanting death to America. They were in their Iranian parliament burning. Well, they weren't burning the flag, but chanting death to America. It was shocking, but it wasn't here. It's here now. It's here now. How did this happen? Well, we covered that. Barack Obama led in millions of unvettable Muslims from regions in which Muslims capture women, enslave them, and sell them in sex slave markets. When you're doing that, you don't know who you're getting. And I documented during all of that, we were pulling folks out of Syria, and we were bringing them here, right? Because Syria was a mess at the time. But they were counting on that Americans didn't know who they were bringing here. Couldn't understand. Syria's bad. Hey, yeah, let's bring those refugees, man. They're killing those Christians right and left. We're finding mass graves with 15,000 people in them. Cool. Who are we bringing from Syria? Not the Christians. No, the people putting them in the mass graves. That's who we're bringing. We were bringing Sunni Muslims to America. Well, what about the Christians in Syria who are being butchered? Oh, we just left them behind. We didn't bring them? No, we didn't bring them. Who was running the slave markets? Remember how the deal was? If you were a woman under 40, you got to live. If you were over 40, you were just past your prime. They'd kill you along with your children. But if you were under 40, they would sell you at the slave market. Who was doing that? Sunni Muslims. Who did we bring in mainly as refugees from there? Sunni Muslims. Oh, who else were the Sunni Muslims killing in Syria? Remember all the Syrian refugees? Oh, they were killing Shia Muslims on site. Were we bringing in Shia Muslims? Nope, not them. Not them. The Shia Muslims were not, by the way, holding the slave sales. They were not putting people in mass graves. So we brought in the perps. Yeah, I don't know why. They weren't in any trouble. They were just running around killing people. Now, Bashar Assad was killing them, which was good. That was good. It stopped the violence in his country. And I documented this with the immigration numbers. Okay, so this is going on during Barack Obama. We cannot vet these people. Syria is a failed state. And we're bringing them. This is who them and their kids is in the streets now marching. This is who the Democrat Party has to kowtow to. Why? Many of them settled in, it happens to be, the swing state of Michigan. Some of them settled in Minnesota. So now the Democrat Party has to earn the Death to America vote. Because Michigan's going to be close. Joe Biden's economic policies are an absolute disaster. What does the Death to America vote want? They want support for the terror group Hamas. They want support for more October 7 massacres. So now the flags are burning here and the Death to America chants are here. And yesterday, Jackie Heinrich ran all around Congress trying to find a single Democrat who on video, Jackie Heinrich is from Fox News, would condemn Death to America chants. She couldn't find one. And that is where we are today. Meanwhile, they are blocking bridges. They have taken the opinion that you're not going to fly out of Chicago O'Hare. You're not going to drive over the Brooklyn Bridge. If you got to get to a hospital because you're bleeding too bad, we're supporting Hamas in America. And ACT Blue, which is the Democrats' fundraising arm, is bonding these people out. So, I mean, this is crazy. You're watching them. They're on TV. They're encasing themselves in concrete so they can't easily be moved. They're blocking traffic. They're blocking ambulances. They're putting lives at risk. The Democrats are like, wow, can't do that. Gavin Newsom said that, by the way. Wow, you shouldn't do that. Literally, while ACT Blue bonds them out. It's the same thing they did with Black Lives Matter. They were bonding out murderers, people who went on to commit the crime of murder. That was Kamala Harris. So, folks, these people have merged with the Democrat Party. I don't know if the Democrats are happy about that or not, but they need the votes in those key precincts in Michigan. And so when these protesters show up in the Brooklyn Bridge, when they show up in Chicago, when they show up in New York, Democrats not only have to accommodate them, they have to bond them out. You're watching the merger of these people we used to watch on TV chanting death to America. You're watching the merge with the Republican Party. I mean, the Democrat Party. That is what you're watching. Here is Senator. It's incredible to see. I never thought I'd see this in my country. Here is Senator Tom Cotton on the Democrats' activism fundraising arm, Black Active Blue, bailing these protesters out. So understand, this is absolutely a Democrat Party operation.
This isn't just left-wing protesters. This is the entire machinery of the Democratic Party
yep.
that protects these radical ideologues.
This is who they are.
As you said, ACT Blue, yeah. which is... Yeah.
Now, this is the Democrat
Blue,
Party.
The Democratic fundraising machine is raising money to pay for bail for these lunatics.
That's
just like
America.
Kamala Harris raised money to pay for the bail for the BLM rioters in the summer of 2020. This is the Democratic Party machinery supporting these radical ideologues. So they're not really sympathetic to people who are trying to catch a flight at O'Hare to go visit a parent or see a kid's graduation or to a mom who's got to get her kid to the doctor's office or school in the morning. They're sympathetic to all of these anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protesters, and therefore...
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Now, Laura Ingraham makes a brilliant point. What if we did this? Like, we did this exact same thing. We said, you know what? No more Border Patrol sending illegal immigrants we can't vet straight to the airport. Because that's what they do. They put them on vans. They take them to the airport, right? They put them on the plane with you or I. They don't need ID documents, but we sure do to get on that plane. What if we did this? What if we blocked the road to the airport and said, no more illegals getting on these planes. It's too dangerous.
If these people were protesting the open border and had shut down these major arteries going into airports, don't you think Merrick Garland would be announcing massive RICO charges,
you
huge
bet.
Task force? They'd do another J6 on this, would they not?
Yeah, it'd be SWAT teams coming in, just like you saw at the Supreme Court today, Laura, where the feds stretched the law to round up hundreds of January 6 defendants, stretching it beyond its plain meaning to include two counts against Donald Trump. That's what they do when it's conservatives undertaking such activities.
Are you such a man that you have to cover up your man scent with Axe body spray just to blunt it for people around you? Well, congratulations. It apparently works on sheep, too. Wall Street Journal just did a big write-up on how a lot of shepherds are now using Axe body spray to prevent male sheep from fighting. Apparently, the smell is so strong, it masks their hormones, and they all get along better. Yeah. This started a few years ago, when somebody realized, I guess, in the sheep community, I should distinguish them from the sheeple who think things in the mainstream media are real. No, the sheep community is the actual community of people who shepherd sheep. Realized that the smell is so strong, it masks the ram's natural pheromones. It's a trick that apparently has been filtering through the sheep herding community for several years. A specific scent called Axe Africa is supposed to work the best. It's also marketed under the name Axe Kilo. So if your sheep can't get along, or your male teenagers, perhaps douse them in this. I don't know. It could work. You'd try it. Maybe other guys want to fight you at the club. I don't know. Buy a can of it. I'm not sure if it's good for anything else, though. It is very strong. Okay, going to jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, spray some Axe on Congress. Now the texter writes, why is it the people here who scream the loudest about debt to America all seem to be living the American dream, pretty good life with much personal freedom? Another texter writes, we're already giving them billions, building them a port, thwarting Israel's plans against Hamas, providing food supplies and other supply drops, and stationing ships in the ocean to make sure nothing happens to Palestine or Iran in that direction. How much more can we support Hamas? I guess full-on war with Israel? Believe me, they'd do it if they could get away with it. You're going to see the Democrat Party do things like that within a decade. You are, just given what they are tolerating in the streets of America right now. If you are actively seeking the death to America vote and you can't even condemn it, this is where this is going, folks. This is where this is going. Finally, texter writes, I feel like, Tara, almost 50% of Americans don't think Trump should run at all. If you ask those same people if Trump should be disqualified if he is acquitted, the number probably wouldn't change much. Some people just hate the man for no reason. Okay, good point.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.